Happy Independence Day weekend for those of you in the United States. Yes, we celebrate Independence Day. Not that anybody in the mainstream remembers what July 4th is supposed to stand for, other than just, you know, fireworks in the sky. But it actually is Independence Day for our nation. We'll see where that goes. But this is Brighton Broadcast News for Monday, July 3rd, 2023. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me. I've got some interesting news about Twitter, but I just, gosh, I smell like a goat right now because I just spent the last hour trimming the hooves of my elderly goat, who is not very mobile anymore. She's on her last days, and she's the one I have to help sometimes to pick her up on, to get her back up onto her hind legs. And sometimes she falls over and kind of gets stuck wherever she is if it's not convenient for her to kind of roll over and get up. So I have to pick her up a few times a day. And the fact that she's not walking around makes her hooves really grow. And they're not being worn down like normal. So my other goats, all their hooves are fine. I check them, but I never have to trim them. I've never had to trim goat hooves. Of course, because I walk my goats, you know, and we have kind of rough soils. You know, it's Texas, and so there's plenty of rocks and sand in the soil. It's called sandy loam, after all. There's lots of sand there. It wears down their hooves. But anyway, so this goat is not walking around. Her hooves are growing like crazy, so I have to get in there and trim them. I spent an hour with a hoof trimmer just kind of trying to trim all the excess hoof material away so she's not walking on high heels all the time. And in order to do that, I have to have to pick her up and put her on her side in the back of a little farm vehicle. And then I have to kind of lean on her so that she doesn't get up. So that's why I smell like a goat. I actually have goat hair. But, you know, as far as farm animals go, goats are not that bad, actually. Goats smell way better than chickens. In fact, goats are one of the cleanest farm animals you can have. If you're looking for farm animals, you want to know what to start with. Goats are not a bad choice, actually. Especially the smaller ones. They're relatively easy to handle. They don't smell that bad, and when they poop, it's pelletized. It's like poop pellets for your garden or wherever you want to put them, your orchard. I mean, I wouldn't put them directly on my garden vegetables, but for orchards and stuff, it's great. And it's great for the compost pile and so on. So it's pelletized poop. It's really nice, much better than chicken poop or cow poop or horse poop or donkey poop. So I know you didn't expect to hear this on the Independence Day special, but there's a little poop wisdom in there for you if you're going to get some farm animals. Check out goats. Even when you smell like a goat, it could be worse. It could be way worse. It's not that bad. Okay, the next big news item is, I've been reinstated on Twitter for some reason. So it's my official account. Apparently it was banned, I'm seeing now, 4 years ago, but it seems like it was way longer to me. See, I don't know. But anyway, the last tweet on there before yesterday was 2019. And let me tell you what happened. So it's at HealthRanger, by the way, if you want to know. And you want to follow me on Twitter, although I'm going to post more stuff on Brighteon.social, actually, and also Telegram, where it's Real Health Ranger. But if you want to follow me on Twitter, that's totally cool, at Health Ranger, and see how long it lasts until they ban me again. But, you know, I've been complaining about Elon Musk for quite some time here and how I said he was not honest about, you know, keeping his promise of unbanning people who had not violated the terms of service. And, you know, it was promised that people like myself were going to be unbanned 6 months ago. That did not happen. But it has happened now. But I find it interesting. Well, so first of all, let me just say to Elon Musk, if you had any role in this, thank you. Thank you. And it is, you know, it's better late than never. So, you know, if Elon had a role, thank you for turning my account back on. But we had also spent tens of thousands of dollars on a legal team, and they have issued letters, demand letters to Twitter. And I don't know how long ago that first demand letter went out. Maybe it was a month or something. And we've also issued demand letters to Facebook and Apple and some other organizations. And we are prepared to sue these companies, by the way. Prepared to sue, which is going to cost many hundreds of thousands of dollars. But this letter may have made a difference at Twitter. This could be the thing. I'm not sure. We don't know. But seems like maybe within 30 to 45 days after we issued the demand letter, then they turned my account back on. So I don't know. But my understanding is that Twitter is in a lot of chaos right now. Apparently they're burning $300 million a month, which is, right? Isn't that like $10 million a day? That's a lot of money to burn through, $10 million a day. So I went ahead and signed up for the blue checkmark verification thing, whatever that is, for $8 a month, right? How's Twitter going to cover $10 million a day by selling checkmarks for $8 a month? I mean, I don't know. Do the math on that one. It doesn't work. So they're going to have to come up with another revenue model, and I can't help but wonder that maybe they turned me back on, and maybe they're going to turn on some other people in alt media, because frankly, they're just losing a lot of traffic to other platforms, like Truth Social, or Gab, or Getter, or Brighton Social, or wherever, Cloud Hub, you name it, right? So that may be a factor. Again, I don't know for sure, not sure, but at least my account's turned back on for right now, and I tweeted out some stuff about the Supreme Court. I haven't really pushed the envelope yet. I haven't said, there's only two genders, and see what happens. I probably will soon, but I did say, hey, with the Supreme Court overturning affirmative action in academia, I wonder how many Asian Americans were actually deprived of their higher education because of discrimination against Asians that has been practiced by Harvard and all these Ivy League schools. And what are these schools going to do for the Asian Americans that they discriminated against, huh? Where's the justice for the Asian Americans? There's a question for you. So I tweeted that out, and they haven't banned me yet, so we'll see. Well, this is going to be interesting. But, you know, there's a bigger principle in all of this that I just want to reiterate here, and you've heard me say this before, but I need to underscore it, which is that we shouldn't live in a world where one man like Elon or myself or anybody can determine what you're allowed to say or not say, right? So as a universal principle, the power to control speech should never be in the hands of one corporation, nor one government, certainly not one person. No matter whether you think that's a good person or a bad person, it's too much power in the hands of the few. And so right now, we are working on a project that is super cool. You're going to see it very soon. That is decentralized free speech. And it's a game changer. And it's no one can censor what you say. And you can say literally anything you want. I mean, actually anything. Now, the individual end users can ban you if they don't like what you're saying. But free speech, if it's pure, if it's decentralized on a platform where there are no central controllers or fact checkers or anything, actual free speech is everything. And some of it's probably going to be horrifying. not from me, by the way, but I'm just saying across the platform from some other people who want to push the boundaries of sanity or whatever, or profanity. But we're going to be demonstrating some really cool free speech that is, I wish I could tell you about it. I can't talk about it yet, but it's coming. It's going to be awesome. And it's in conjunction with some platform people that I've already interviewed. So that's coming soon. I do want you to stay tuned. You're going to love it. Really. And you're going to be able to participate in it too. And it's free. There's not even a revenue model. The software is free. Running it's free. Posting content's free, whatever. I mean, we're paying to build the system that I'm talking about. Well, you know, we're shelling out the cash, but you know, we're doing that because you support us. And so, as I've always promised, we're going to use revenues that you send us. We're going to use those revenues to invest in projects that help make human civilization more free for the future. And that's exactly what this is. All right. So that's cool. Now, by the way, a reminder that my new show, Decentralized.tv, episode 1 is already posted on that website, decentralized.tv, and episode 2 comes out this Wednesday, and episode 2 features Jonathan Emord, who's running for the U.S. Senate in Virginia. And Jonathan Emord talks about cryptocurrency and decentralized finance and CBDCs and a lot of other really cool stuff. So that's a great interview. Now we're going to be moving soon to two episodes a week on decentralized.tv. And my co-host, Todd Pittner, he's been on, I'll just say he's been on a trip, a pre-scheduled trip. So he missed three interviews that I did. So we're going to film with him. He's going to review those interviews, and then we're going to film his reaction to those interviews so we can get him in the shows. So I've already filmed three additional shows. So actually we have five shows done. And then this week I'm filming at least another two, maybe three additional shows. So we're going to go to two shows a week. Now here's what's cool. I'm interviewing top people involved in many critical projects for the future of human freedom and even financial freedom or financial sovereignty. And as you know, I've come to the conclusion that so-called privacy coins are critical for protecting your assets from confiscation and from surveillance. Privacy coins are the antithesis of what central bank digital currencies will be. Well, over the next couple of weeks, I have project leaders coming on the show. Right now, I've got three key privacy coin project leaders scheduled for interviews, and we have invitations out to several more, and that's all coming. And you're going to hear about the biggest breakthrough technology that's happening right now. In fact, let me just drop a major hint here right now that is breaking news. I'm not even going to make a big deal out of this because not everybody knows what this means, but I interviewed the co-founder of an organization called Local Monero. And the website for that is localmonero.co. Now, it's a way to buy Monero from other individuals. I'm not going to explain it all here because I'm doing the full interview with the co-founder and he'll cover it. But during that interview, he dropped some bombshell news. And this concerns an upgrade to Monero, an enhancement. Called Seraphis, S-E-R-A-P-H-I-S. And as far as I can tell, nobody's reported on this yet. The Seraphis, an element of the Seraphis upgrade that's coming, is apparently supposed to expand the number of ring signatures, which is currently, I believe, at 16. So for every transaction, there are 16 signatures. One of them is yours. The other 15 are decoys. And so no one really knows for sure whether it's your transaction. Well, apparently the number of ring signatures that's now going to be the anonymity set is going to increase not just from 16 to something like 64 or not even just from 16 to 16,000. But apparently what I'm being told, this is in the interview coming up, is that it's increasing from 16 to the total number of transaction outputs on the entire Monero blockchain somehow through some super clever math. So in other words, the anonymity set just went kaboom to a massive, I don't know, hundreds of thousands or millions or whatever the number is. It's got to be millions, actually. So from 16 to millions. Now, it's not out yet. It's currently in testing. I had not heard of that from anybody. You're hearing it now probably for the first time. You may not even know what that means if you're not into Monero, but for people who follow digital privacy coins, this is a huge deal. This is a game changer deal. And I'm just telling you right now because that interview is coming up and you're going to love it. In fact, that interview is coming up. Yeah, I have it scheduled to run on July 12th. So it's still over a week away. But July 12th, I'll be running that interview, so you can hear that. Now, here's the other thing. If you want to know who I'm going to interview, I think a day before I actually do the interview, or before I publish it, subscribe to the email list on decentralized.tv, and what I'm instructing my staff to do is to email all the subscribers the day before each episode posts to tell you who we're interviewing in that episode. So if you kind of want a 24-hour heads up, or it might not be exactly 24 hours, it might be a little less, but roughly one day ahead, join the email list, and then you'll know who we're about to interview. And again, it's project leaders of a lot of amazing projects, and you know, you can, I don't know, you can check it out even before the interview runs and then tune in and see what you think and see if it's something you could apply in your own life as asset protection or private transactions or who knows what, you know, peer-to-peer decentralized publishing, for example. There's a lot of really great things that we're going to have on the show. You're going to absolutely love it. So again, decentralize.tv is the website. Also, I'll just give you another quick hint here. One of the things I'm going to be talking about in upcoming shows is the fact that you need to warm up the channels of being able to acquire privacy crypto. You got to warm them up. Now, let me give you an example. If you go to localmonero.co, and there you're going to see all kinds of listings of people selling Monero through different means. Like, oh, I'll sell you Monero for like a Zelle transfer or a Zoom transfer or a bank wire or cash in the mail. Some people actually mail cash to other people. I'm not recommending that, but some people do. Like, they put a $100 bill in the mail and they mail it to somebody, and then that person sends them Monero. If you're wondering how it all works, how can you trust anybody? It's all handled through some clever arbitrage bonds and everything. You'll hear that in the interview coming up. But my point is, you should warm up your reputation on a website like that by making small acquisitions, small trades, and build up a reputation score so that when the day comes that you need to do big acquisitions of Monero, you have that channel warmed up. And by the way, I've been playing with local Monero myself, and I found by far the easiest way to do trades is cryptocurrency trades, where you send somebody Bitcoin and they send you Monero. And it's super easy to do. You don't have to mess around with banks, thank God, because banks are horrible. But if you don't have any Bitcoin, you probably need to go out and find a way to get some Bitcoin. It's just, I mean, even if you have a friend, just like, hey, can you sell me some Bitcoin? I mean, give him cash and let him, you know, give you a couple $100 worth of Bitcoin. Just so you have something to play with and start doing this process. You got to warm up these channels. And also, I've been looking at different online exchanges, you know, like Kraken and Gemini. Gemini froze my account because I used it too much. You know, it's funny. On the same weekend, Twitter unbanned me. Gemini banned me. And why did Gemini ban me? Because I was using it. It's like, what? They actually sent me an email. It's like, we've noticed you're using Gemini so much that we thought we should ban you. Well, it's under investigation, so who knows? But the point is, you got to have multiple options. Maybe open an account on Robinhood. You can buy Bitcoin there. Or open an account on Kraken. Or some people use Coinbase or Binance or whatever. Some people use, I don't know, all kinds of different places to buy Bitcoin. You have to do your research. But get yourself some Bitcoin and start warming up these channels so that you can use them when the time comes that you need them. Because, well, maybe I shouldn't go into a full discussion here. I'll do it more on the show. But the bottom line is, all the fiat currency systems, your banks, the wire transfers, the, you know, cash withdrawals, the ATM withdrawals, they all have daily limits and monthly limits. And the limits are pretty pathetic, probably, if you're actually trying to move some decent amount of money around. The limits are going to restrict your ability, obviously, to do what you want to do in a time of emergency. And that's why it's critical to start now ahead of time so that you start moving money and your bank doesn't freak out and freeze everything and flag it and call you and like, is this fraud? You know, cause that's, they'd love to do that. That, you know, the fiat currency banking system is the only system in the world where if you use it, they flag it as fraud. If you don't use it, it's all, everything's fine. Well, I should say technically, if you don't take any money out, everything's fine. Now, you can deposit all day long, right? You can send money. You can receive wires. You can accept deposits. You can get paychecks. All that stuff. No problem. Oh, that's not fraud. No, everything's good. You try to take it out. Oh my gosh. Fraud, 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 fraud. Super flag fraud. I mean, even just one, like I was doing this trade on Monero, the local Monero for, I think it was $125, right? I thought I would start low. And sure enough, I use a debit card for it because I'm trying all these different methods. I use a debit card from a local bank I have in Texas. And sure enough, they halted it and they texted me, is this fraud? $125. Like, really? You think that's fraud? You should see the national debt. You know, you should see the money going to Ukraine. You want to see fraud? It's measured in billions. Get a clue, you morons. $125. That's not fraud. That's pocket change these days. You can't even buy a decent meal. Fraud. $125. Anyway, so I responded, no, it's not fraud. And they said, okay, you can use it now. But you see my point. Anytime you try to use anything, you use a debit card, use a credit card, use a check, use a ATM, you try to use anything, they're like, oh, it must be fraud. So you got to warm up all these channels and you got to be ready for what's coming because there is a major financial event coming. I am convinced. It's not going to be pretty. I'm talking about a giant fiat currency debt system rug pull. That means when they pull the rug out from underneath you, right? You know, the Great Reset, whatever. The banks will be frozen. And on that day that the banks are frozen, guess what's going to work? Oh yeah, crypto is going to work. That's right. And everybody's going to want crypto on that day. And you know what the value of crypto is probably going to be, especially privacy coins that no one can track and surveil. I mean, just think about the fact that when the banks freeze, the only money that still works is either physical gold and silver or, you know, digital peer-to-peer currency that is decentralized, that the banks can't control. You know, the government can order the banks to close. They can't order Bitcoin to close. They can't order Monero to close. They can't order crypto to shut down. Unless they shut down the entire internet, which probably means shutting down the whole power grid. And that's why you have gold and silver and bullets, by the way. You know, if that scenario unfolds, you have bigger problems than not being able to get your crypto. Trust me. That's why you have to diversify different asset classes. But I think this day is coming when the banks do not function. And it's going to be crypto. Everybody's going to be trading in crypto or gold or silver or other forms of local barter. I mean, that's maybe some cash too. You know, good old green cash, greenbacks, maybe some goldbacks too, you know. But people are going to trade with whatever they have that still functions. That's not going to be the banks. So it's also not a bad idea to have some cash around, by the way. A few $1,000 in cash, you know, just in case, just to get you through. But anyway, this day is coming, I'm convinced, and we need to be ready for it. And the time to start is now. And that's why I'm going to cover this on the Decentralized Show more in the future as well. But over the weekend, I tested out the Trezor and the Ledger Nano devices that are supposed to be offline cold storage wallets for crypto. And I tried to get Monero, which of course is a privacy coin, tried to get Monero to work on both of these devices. And I actually have four of these devices. I have two Trezor Model Ts, and then I have two Ledger devices. One of them's a Nano S, and the other one, I forgot, it something bigger. And I tried on three different computers with three different Monero wallets. Four devices, I could not get one of them to actually work with Monero. I know, right? Not one. Even though apparently some other people can. There are instructions online for how to do it. I went through it. Nothing worked. And I came to realize that if I want cold storage of crypto, all I need is a little mini PC. And so I had previously purchased these mini PCs, and I'll give you the brand name here if you want to get one yourself. I call them Mele, M-E-L-E. You can get them on Amazon for like 100, 200, depends on the model. These are little mini Windows computers. One of them's about the size of an ice cream sandwich. And it's a whole computer in there. It's got, you know, storage, operating system, CPU, you know, everything. And, you know, you plug in your monitor, you plug in your keyboard. It's got USB ports, got a little power thing. Barely uses any power, by the way. And it runs Windows 11, you know. And you can launch one of these and you can download the Monero wallet or any other wallet, Bitcoin wallets. You can put Exodus on. You can run all kinds of stuff on it. And so, and, of course, the interface, the user interface is awesome. You just connect it to a monitor. It's like regular Windows, right? Whereas these little cold storage devices have little teeny tiny screens that it's like, yeah, if I were 19 years old, I could see all that stuff so small. But as you get older, you know, little tiny screens don't do it for you anymore, right? It's harder to see. So I prefer to have like windows on the monitor in front of me. So I was just putting coins into the desktop wallets on this little mini PC, the Mealy PC. And then if I want to go into cold storage, I just unplug it. Ah, cold storage. You know what? And if you want to take it with you, just put it in your pocket. I mean, it's more portable than a laptop. So I'm not sure at this point what's any advantage over some kind of cold storage hardware at this. I mean, when you can just have a mini PC that does so much more. And the mini PC, you can also encrypt the hard drive. You can have an encrypted boot on that, no problem. So yes, highly secure. Even if you lose it, you don't lose anything as long as you have your seed phrases for your wallets, because you know the coins are not stored in your wallet. You know, the coins are stored on the blockchain. So all you got to have is your seed phrase, and you can reinstall the wallet on any computer and retrieve all your money on the blockchain. So it's these issues. I'm going to cover these in more detail on the show, and I'm going to demonstrate this for you. But I've been finding a lot of solutions that do work and a lot of things that, frankly, are not working for me. And I'm going to share all that with you so that you can have truly secure private money. I'll also tell you about the best encryption system that I've been using for many years, and it's a open source encryption. And, you know, free to download. It'll encrypt your entire boot system partition on Windows. You can use it on these small Mealy devices. You can encrypt thumb drives, whatever you want, and it's totally free. And it uses heavy, heavy duty encryption. It'll do triple layer encryption. It'll do like AES on top of Blowfish, on top of something else. It'll do like triple encrypted if you want, if you don't mind things being slower. You can, if you need triple encryption, you have some bad people looking for you, I guess. I mean, just one layer of encryption is more than most people ever do. If you need triple encryption, man, whoo, wouldn't want to be in your shoes. By the way, I'm going to be covering this more probably tomorrow or the next day, but the Biden regime is now fully backing a plan to block the sun and dim the sun and have less sunlight reach the surface of the earth. Geoengineering, now totally admitted by the White House. Remember just a couple years ago when the media claimed, oh, it's all a conspiracy theory, there's no such thing. Now it's official Biden White House policy, right? So, of course, the world owes an apology to Dane Wigington at Geoengineering Watch. And, you know, people like myself who've been covering this for many years and interviewing Dane, and also people like Steve Quayle and Alex Jones and so on, you know, Doug Hagman. I mean, it's a long list. So, yes, they're trying to block the sun. We'll cover that in a lot more detail. Not going to go into it right now. Also, some fascinating news. New York State, its tax revenues have fallen by 20%. We're going to cover that story in more detail. It's covered by the New York Post. But the state of New York, again, losing 20% of its state tax revenues. Why? Because the people who earn money are fleeing the state. Why wouldn't they? You know, Trump left. If Sean Hannity had any brains, he would leave. I mean, everybody left. Didn't Rush Limbaugh leave New York a few years back? I remember him talking about it on his show before he passed. And I think they hounded him all over the country. Or was it California that he left? I forgot. But the point is, people are leaving both California and New York and Washington State, Seattle, you know, because the taxes are insane. It's not safe. The police are not well funded. Everything's falling apart in these liberal cities. So with tax revenues falling, but of course crime rising because of the illegal immigration that's also affecting New York City, what do you think is going to happen? Oh yeah, and of course commercial real estate has collapsed and tourism has collapsed in New York City. Why? Because Mayor Eric Adams is using over half the hotel rooms now to house illegal immigrants, i.e. invaders of the United States, who are trashing all these hotel rooms, I've heard. Just trashing them like crazy. So everybody who can is going to flee New York City. And everybody who can is going to flee Los Angeles or San Francisco. I mean, I have a friend who lived in San Diego his whole life. He swore he would never leave. A couple months ago, he's like, yeah, packing up the family. We're moving. We're out of here. Like, really? What happened? It's like, taxes are insane. Can't even make it anymore. Prices are, you know, totally through the roof, and taxes are insane. Gasoline, you know, property taxes, rent, whatever. It's all insane. You can't, it's not viable to live in Los Angeles or San Diego unless you're getting everything for free. So the only people who can afford to live there are people who are getting all the government handouts. But the people who earn money can't afford to live there, so of course they leave, which causes what? Oh, revenues fall. And then these states, you know, obviously this is a cycle of doom. But I think we'll cover that in more detail. I just want to give you an overview of all of this. Also, France is burning. You probably have followed this news. France is burning because, of course, there was a police officer who shot, I think, an Algerian French immigrant. I think that's who it was. And kind of like a Black Lives Matter eruption in the United States, all of the migrants, the young migrants across France, have gone insane, burning down buildings, and they've burned hundreds of cars. 45,000 police have been dispatched with armored vehicles, and one of the protesters fired an RPG at a building for whatever reason. I mean, man. Is CNN going to say it's mostly peaceful RPGs, you know, except for the boom part? It's mostly peaceful. It's just like a swish, like, phew. So mostly peaceful until the kaboom. But yeah, so this is an actual invasion of France, by the way. The migrant invasion of Europe is underway. This is how it's going to happen. You're watching it. Michael Yon has been warning about this. It's going to happen in the United States. There will be a trigger event where a migrant is, you know, shot by a cop or something happens, something very, very visible, and there will be a massive eruption of the illegals across America, and then the Marxists will jump on that and turn it into an attempted revolution slash coup, and they'll start doing what the migrants are doing in France, which is they're trying to hunt down the bureaucrats and lawmakers and execute them, by the way. That's happening in France right now. I mean, they're not having much, quote, success in their view at that, but they've said that that's what they want to do. They literally want to hunt down and execute lawmakers and bureaucrats and whatever. That's how a revolution happens. And it's coming to America. It's going to happen in the United States, so you need to be ready for that. The cities are going to be overrun by violent militants, especially when you have, you know, hundreds of thousands of Communist Party Chinese troops that are being pre-positioned across the United States to be activated. How do you think this is going to go down? Yeah, it's not hard to see it. Just take a look at France, and that's what's coming to America. Yeah, coming to a city near you. And this is why the ATF wants to disarm America, so that the American people can't fight back and stop the revolution, you see, because it's a Marxist, left-wing, communist revolution that, frankly, all the leftists in government want to see succeed, because they're morons who don't realize that they're also going to be executed by the rioting militant leftists, the Marxists. I mean, the communists. You think they're going to leave the people who cooperate around to cause more trouble? No, they're going to execute everybody. They're going to start over. They're going to put their own people in power. So the only thing that's going to protect us, frankly, is the Second Amendment. And that's why defending the Second Amendment is absolutely critical. And that's why, you know, don't give up your guns. You know, keep it legal, follow the law, but don't give up your guns. Oh, that reminds me, there's a July 4th special going on at the Cali Key Company, Kalikey. Which sells those drop-in bolt carrier group replacements for your AR-15 rifle, so that if you live in a tyrannical state like California, you can turn your AR into a bolt-action rifle. Right. And, you know, you can probably still keep your bolt carrier group around somewhere, but I don't know. You decide, you follow your local laws, check the laws, find out what's legal. You know, I always say follow your local laws. It's not illegal to own a bolt carrier group. And anyway, the CaliKey.com, use discount code Ranger. They have a special going on. I can't keep track of all the specials, but it's some kind of major discount, so check that out. And then also HoplightArmor.com has a special running through, I think, tomorrow. H-O-P-L-I-T-E, HoplightArmor.com. Discount code Ranger gets you either 20 or 25% off. I forgot which one. And that's just a July 4th special. In fact, I should be doing more shopping myself on with all these July 4th specials, but I'm not. I'm too busy researching stuff, and I forgot to buy stuff, you know? Not a very responsible prepper. You're supposed to be taking advantage of the discounts on Independence Day, and here I am messing around with cryptography and wallets, digital money and everything. I should be buying discount, you know, 5.56 ammo or something, but I'm not. Nevertheless, you don't have to do what I did. Do what works for you. But speaking of collapsed nations, there's another news item here. I think, again, I'm going to cover these in more detail, I hope. But this is from RMX.news, which covers Europe. Hungary's Orban said, he's a prime minister, the EU is on the brink of bankruptcy. And he said that the money for the EU that was supposed to be there to fund the next 5 years of operations of the EU bureaucracy, it's gone. You know, like a South Park episode, and it's gone. And he posted this on Facebook. He says, the only question everyone is asking here in Brussels is, where has the money gone? Do you need to ask Viktor Orban? Do you really need to ask? Of course, it went into the people's pockets. All kinds of people's pockets, is people in power, so they could buy their new condos and their Lambos and whatever, and their escape bunkers, because they all have a plan to get out before the nukes start flying, and we'll talk about that in a second too, by the way. But yeah, the EU's broke. You know, New York's broke, California's broke. You know, the banks are broke. The U.S. government's $32 trillion in debt. My goodness. I mean, these institutions are failing. Nations are failing. Western civilization as we know it is completely failing. I don't see a scenario where this gets, you know, back on track. I think it's just going to collapse, frankly. I think the collapse is part of the plan. All right. Now, speaking of collapse and war and Europe and all that, we've got new statements from Dmitry Medvedev, the deputy chairman of the Russian Security Council. Now, this is, you could call him Mr. Hothead. Whereas Putin sounds relatively reasonable, this guy, he's always talking about nuking targets in the West. And here he goes again. He says, quote, the situation in Ukraine is not a regional conflict, but a total confrontation between the collective West and the rest of the world. And he says it could last for decades. The current confrontation between the West and the rest of the world has brought the world to the brink of a third world war, he says. And in the event of a third world war, there will be no winners. There will be nuclear winter, epidemics, and famine on Earth. Now, isn't that interesting? The last three things he said. Nuclear winter, epidemics, and famine. Does that ring a bell, anybody? Because my frequent guest, Michael Yan, talks about those exact three things and how they always go together. War, disease, and famine. War, disease, and famine. And as Michael Yan says, when you launch war, you cause disease and famine. Or if there's an outbreak of disease, it causes war and famine. Or if there's massive food failures and you start with famine, you end up with disease and war. So it's a trifecta. They always go together. And Medvedev just says exactly that. He's underscoring essentially what Michael Yan has repeatedly been talking about. I wonder if Medvedev is listening to Michael Yan on some of this stuff, or I don't know, or maybe it's just self-evident that these three things go together. I don't know. But obviously in a nuclear fallout situation, you're going to have a mass die-off. you're going to have crop failures. You're going to have, you know, you're going to have disease. You're going to have violence. You're going to have, obviously, financial collapse. Nations will collapse. You're going to have scarcity. Supply chains will collapse. And there's a tipping point beyond which nothing works anymore. You know, at a certain point, you don't have refineries that are functioning or railroads functioning or farms or tractors. You can't get parts for the tractors. You can't get fuel filters. You can't deliver diesel. You know, the power grid doesn't function enough to even run local manufacturing or to keep the food frozen at the grocery stores. There's a tipping point beyond which the whole thing collapses. Now, will we experience that? I sure hope not. You know, because even myself, I only have so much diesel to run the generator, you know. There's a point where you just don't have any more diesel. Almost no matter how much you store. I mean, you can't stack, like, you know, million-gallon diesel tanks all over your property. That might raise some eyebrows, you know. I'll also be a big, juicy target for domestic terrorists. But the point is, the population will collapse in these scenarios if we end up with a nuclear exchange. And we're growing closer to that every single day, sadly, and I don't see anybody from the West backing down from that situation. So, you know, here we are, July 4th, you know, celebrating the birth of a nation, and yet we are on the verge of the death of this nation. Think about that. How many years has it been? 240-something? It's been a while. It's coming up on 250, right? And that's about the lifespan of nations, by the way. They typically don't last much longer. And you can see why. I mean, look at the decadence. Look at the decay, the moral decay. Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, look at the debt, the corruption, the treason, the lies, the propaganda, the lying media, the censorship, the authoritarianism, the bioweapons. You know, it's just like this whole system doesn't work. The failing banks. The system doesn't work. Why do you think I'm in a hurry to get out of the banking system and get into gold and silver and crypto? Seriously, because I think that's the only thing that's going to be left in terms of usable money. I literally believe that. Imagine my shock finding out it's really hard to get out of the banking system because every time you try to use your bank, they flag it as fraud, like I explained earlier. Every time you try to take money out, they try to make it impossible. See? All by design. They don't want you to take... See, I didn't even know this until I tried to actually start moving money out. Then I find out how hard it is. As long as you never really want your money, it's all good. But the day you want it, no. You can't have it. You might be a fraudster. How dare you ask for your money? How dare you transfer this or withdraw that or get this cash or do this or use your cards? How dare you? You know? Because they're trying to stop people from getting their money out of the system. Because the system is bankrupt. It's broken. If even a small percentage of the American people take their money out of the banks collapse and cannot be rescued except by massive trillions in money printing, which will lead to the end of the dollar even faster than we thought. So one way or another, the dollar is done. It's just a question of when. It's a question of what it looks like as the system goes down. It's not a question of whether it's going down. It's going down. It's just what it looks like when that happens. So I'm not even going to run an interview today, by the way. I just want to keep this kind of short because it is a holiday weekend. But I've got some great interviews already done that I'll be running starting Wednesday. Yeah, actually, come to think of it. You know, no, what I should do? Yeah, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put episode 1 of Decentralized.tv here on the end of this podcast today, okay? We'll just put it together in the file so you can watch it and you get a little taste of the show. And remember, episode 2 is running this Wednesday. So it's coming up soon. And I guess that's it for today. I'll cover many of these stories in a lot more detail this week. I don't know if I'll have a podcast for you tomorrow. Whether I do or don't, I want to wish you a happy Independence Day. Happy July 4th. Be safe, obviously. If you eat barbecue, which is super fun on July 4th, make sure you take a lot of vitamin C just to counteract the barbecue. I'll probably have some barbecue, and I'm going to load up on vitamin C. Astaxanthin is also a fat-soluble antioxidant. It's a carotenoid. Eat plenty of fiber, you know, before these meals. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be like your food police here, but if you want to know how to be healthy on July 4th, you can still enjoy your hamburgers and your barbecue brisket or whatever. Just have some fruit fiber, you know, eat an apple beforehand, have an orange, eat some coleslaw, have a salad, just load up some fiber in your system, and then, you know what? Enjoy that barbecued hamburger. Go for it. Life is short. You know, enjoy it. Just take some vitamin C, eat some blueberries. You'll be fine. Yeah, you don't have to suffer through it. Sitting there eating tofu cubes while everybody else is enjoying a brisket sandwich. No, have a little fun, but protect yourself with some nutrients and you'll be fine. Drink clean water. Of course, avoid, you know, soda and all that garbage. Don't load up on Bud Light. It might make you gay before the end of the holiday, so be careful there. Do they actually put, like, castration chemicals in the Bud Light, or is that just a myth? I don't know. Not that anyone's drinking it anyway. No one's buying it. Can't give that stuff away. But whatever. Enjoy your July 4th, and I'll be back with you either, I don't know, probably the next day. But in the meantime, be safe and stay healthy. Check out my newly released account on Twitter. It's @HealthRanger. I'll probably be tweeting a few things there, like the things I just said, like be sure to take vitamin C when you eat barbecue, you know, stuff like that. And it should be fun. All right. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again very soon. Take care. Welcome to Decentralize.tv, a brand new show here on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, free speech video platform. And today we announce an exciting new show. It's called Decentralize.tv. That's the website for it as well. Decentralize.tv, you'll find social media links and email subscribe list there. Plus every episode that we broadcast, and we would broadcast across every platform, at least the ones that don't ban us for talking about freedom through privacy and human dignity and so much more. Now, I want to introduce my co-host for the series here. His name is Todd Pittner. Welcome to the show, Todd. You're on with the first episode of Decentralized.tv.
This has been amazing how we got to this point, Mike. It is a true pleasure to co-host this with you, and I look forward to the series. And again, my name is Todd Pittner, and I self-identify as unconfiscatable private property.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, all right. We may challenge that at some point. We'll see if you are confiscatable, but thanks for bringing up the concept. That is a lot of what this show is about. Let me share with the audience what this is about, and then Todd, I'll give you a chance to introduce yourself, and I'll introduce myself for all the new viewers. But this show is about decentralized living, and the slogan of the show is building the infrastructure of human freedom. And we already have some amazing guests lined up in the weeks ahead. And we're going to start at one episode a week and probably increase that pretty quickly. And we have guests that are leaders and innovators of many different projects. Some of them are crypto projects. And you and I both, Todd, we prefer privacy-oriented cryptocurrency for reasons we'll discuss. But we're all about decentralization, which means decentralized food and farming, decentralized medicine or medical choices, decentralized education, which can mean homeschooling, right? Decentralizing your life so that you get away from the tyranny of centralized control, the corruption of control, the authoritarianism, and the censorship that now characterizes so many of these regimes. But I do want to say that for all this show, and I think you agree with me, Todd, this is a non-political show. So we're not talking 100%. About politics or Trump or Biden or whatever. Nope. Yeah, your comments.
We will leave the ideologies to others in another show, because decentralized freedom for the masses, is for everyone. And,
that's right.
You know, we don't care if you're black, white, speak English or don't, 5'2", 6'8". We believe that you deserve to be free as well. And financial freedom, decentralized freedom is what's mission critical. And we're going to unpack that, Mike.
Well, absolutely. I would even add to that, Todd. It doesn't matter to us. I mean, if you want to watch the show, you deserve to be free. Doesn't matter to me if you're gay, lesbian, straight, cis, trans, or into furries. Whatever. You deserve private digital money. You deserve decentralization. Yes. You deserve the right to choose your food, your medicine, your life, your education for your children. It doesn't matter to me what your sexual orientation is, your country of origin, what language you speak, whether you're Muslim, Christian, Jew, Sikh, whatever. Okay. So this show is the most inclusive format that you can think of, because we believe, both of us, I think you'll agree with this, Todd, mm-hmm. we both believe that every human being deserves the right to privacy and to own the product of their own labor, which would mm-hmm. be, you know, a storage of value, right?
Yeah, so let's you kind of brushed on it. Let's just hit a few of these. When you and I began discussing this, we were just kind of spitballing, throwing out there, you know, what is this going to be about? Decentralized what? And privacy, freedom, finance, money, commerce, communication, speech, food. You mentioned farms, Mike, private property, preparedness. We're going to talk a lot about that.
Yeah, like going off grid is decentralizing from the power grid, for example.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 100%. And medicine. I mean, you can talk a lot about decentralized medicine, electricity. You mentioned education, health, security, technology, intellectual property, elections, fundraising, and my favorite, family. Decentralized family. That's kind of interesting.
Decentralized what?
Family. Our families deserve decentralization. Bottom line is we just need to get out from under the thumb of the system.
Yes.
Because the system, as it is growing, I mean, like a cancer, it is wanting to be so invasive to where if the powers that be had it their way, there would be nothing in our lives that is private. It
yeah.
would all be surveilled.
Exactly. We're about to live under global centralized tyranny through, I mean, the UN and the WHO are both mm-hmm. Putting forth things. Essentially, I saw an article calling it global electronic Nazism or fascism.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's really what it is. And
yeah.
And again, this isn't political. We don't care about your political views, those of you watching this. We think that whatever your views, you deserve to be free. Let's do some introductions. So Todd, you and I actually have only known each other a little while. You came out yeah. of another project and you just did a live stream talking about that project. Now,
yep.
but let's keep this short on both yours and mine, but give our viewers yeah. a background of who you are,
sure.
how we met and why we're doing this show together and what you're all about.
I'm a very good athlete. I'll just rewind. I outswum 28 million competitors to my mother's ovum. I shouldn't go back that far, Mike. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
I'm 58 years old. I am a business person. My professional day job, I'm the head of partnership development for a venture collective out of Manhattan. We have 22 portfolio companies. And I've been with them for 25 years. It's an amazing group of people. And a few years ago when COVID hit and everything started to happen, I don't know. I just felt something was wrong out there. And I started going down these rabbit holes and started calling it pretty early. And I launched a YouTube channel where I was just kind of like, you know, I think they hijacked flu season and rebranded it. And long story, tolerable, is I had, during 2020, because I was speaking about that subject, I was heavily censored. I had 7 YouTube channels banned, and I know that's near and dear to your heart. You know how that goes.
Oh, if you want to play the censorship upmanship
yeah.
game, one upmanship.
I lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait till you hear my censorship stories, but go ahead. Yeah.
Exactly. This is why you own this platform. And finally I was exhausted at the end of 2020. Cause every time they ban you, it's so hard to get, you know, subscribers back. And so in 2021, somebody introduced me at a very base level to crypto. You know, I knew how to spell Bitcoin, but I knew nothing about the asset class. And so I decided I would kind of pivot and launch a channel that would be dedicated to my journey into crypto as an old dude, you know, and I just started live streaming about my experiences, like, you know, what is Bitcoin? I don't really understand what a blockchain is. How do I get my money from my bank into a Bitcoin? Well, what's an exchange? What's a wallet? What's a cold storage wallet? What do you mean send, TX's, hash rate? None of it. It was just all booming. And so I just started doing what you should do, which is within crypto, you just kind of have to dive into the shallow end head first and just start ugly and get involved. And so that led to me getting a pretty good following of people who were like me, that they were just crypto newbies. People liked it, and I started getting guests on, and I went through and discovered that what I really, really, really desired was private money. I started to realize real quick, when you have public blockchains, that they are surveilled. And if somebody has your address, they can literally tell everything that's in your wallet, what you've spent it on, who you spent it on. And so I fell in love with the notion of private crypto, and I invited different projects on my show, and I conducted what were called coin trials. And basically I was judge and jury. I'd have the head of a project come on, and I would declare them Bitcoin at the beginning, and they had 45 minutes to convince me otherwise. And that was fun. That led me to a couple of different projects.
So wait a second. Let me.
Yeah.
What's cool about what you're saying so far is that you're relatively new to crypto, just a few years.
Totally.
You kind of into it, you know, later than most people that are currently, let's say, Bitcoiners or what have you.
That's right.
And you were taking a big picture view of sort of what's out there, and you discovered that privacy oriented crypto was what you needed. And I heard, I don't know who was saying this, but I saw somebody on a video just yesterday saying that, you know how Monero is a privacy coin, and they're saying that Monero is what noobs thought they bought when they bought Bitcoin.
Right.
Like by the way, let me, can I state, and I'll let you continue. I'm sorry to interrupt, but.
Sure. No problem.
I will probably interrupt you a few times here and there, but.
Always.
This show is crypto neutral, right? So this is a principle that we need, and we've talked about this offline. But we are not here push a specific coin or project. This is not a pump and dump show. It's not a rug pull show. It's nothing like that. We are going to survey everything that's available. We're going to have a lot of people coming in and talking.
Yeah.
You may not even know this, but I've got somebody from Dash coming in that's on the schedule now. We've got somebody from Firo coming in. We're looking for somebody from Monero and so on. But we are going to look at a lot of projects, not just finance either, and just have an honest assessment of what's out there and what's available. So getting back to you, but you discovered that you needed your crypto assets to be private, which makes perfect sense. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like the best analogy I have is if I'm going to go to the airport and I'm laid over somewhere and I have to go to the restroom stall, I'm going to prefer to go to the one with the door that's not see-through. I just kind of fundamentally feel that it's my right to have my business be private. And so if you think about it the same way with your money, with crypto, you know, it's like nobody deserves to be able to know my business just because I paid him something. Like if I paid a plumber, $50, you know, it would be horrible if that plumber could just go to my bank and say, "Hey, I just got paid $50 and here's a number on it. Can you look that up?" "Yes, sir. How much money does Todd have in his account?" "Oh, well, this much. Can you tell me about his transactions this past month?" "Sure, I can print out the whole history of it." You know, and when I realized that that's what you could do with Bitcoin, for example, and I love Bitcoin because Bitcoin is kind of the gateway into privacy coins. So it's very, very important. It just became self-evident to me that In the future, especially, and we're going to talk about these central bank digital currencies, probably in our next show with our guest. That's serious business, folks. If you are just hand waving CBDCs, man, oh man, you don't know what you are in for. That is a complete control system. And so we need to be able to get outside the system and transact with each other and exchange value with each other without the overlords being able to surveil us, confiscate anyone, or be invasive in any such way. So that over the last 3 years, my channel grew. My channel on YouTube is the Uncle V channel, Uncle Vigilante. It's, if you Google search that. And, you know, I fell in love with one particular project. It's called Epic Cash. I love the attributes of that technology. Monero, my goodness, you're right. Thero, there are so many great private cryptos out there and we're going to explore them all. And, Mike, why don't you just share? I mean, yeah, how we got together.
Well, yeah, let me give people a little bit of background on myself as well. So yeah. I'm one of the most censored and banned and deplatformed people in the world. Yep. I was actually deplatformed before, Alex Jones was deplatformed, by the way. Mm. And, YouTube cut off my channel. I think it was in 2015. And, Facebook, we had 2.5 million followers before they cut us off years ago. But, you know, people know me as the Health Ranger, and healthrangerstore.com is our e-commerce site. Mm-hmm. We used revenues from the store to build this platform, brighttown.com, which has become very successful and popular. We have brighttown.tv, which is live streaming news mm-hmm. every day. We have brighttownradio.com. We have over 60 hosts that have programs throughout the week, including, you know, Ann Vandersteel and many, many others. And this show will air on brighttown.tv every Wednesday, by the way, in addition to posting on other platforms. And we're also platform neutral, too. So we support other platforms like Rumble and BitChute and Odyssey, mm-hmm. and we think that decentralization is a great thing. We built brighttown.social, and that was before Truth Social came along or Getter. It was after Gab already was in existence and so on. Mm-hmm. A lot of different platforms. We use them all. Where we're not banned, because obviously we're banned on Facebook and Twitter. Elon Musk still bans myself. And
yeah. He never brought you back?
No. The walrus refuses to restore the Health Ranger. So that's on Elon. Maybe we'll talk about him later on another show. Or maybe we'll invite him on and see if he'll stop by.
There you go.
His new office, his manufacturing facility in Austin, within driving distance from this studio, so we'll welcome him in if he wants to swing by someday, but I doubt it. Nevertheless, so I've been heavily censored. I do sound off on a lot of controversial issues. Generally speaking, I'm not going to cover those on this show.
Right.
We're not talking about medicine, health, politics, that kind of stuff here, except in the sense of decentralization.
Yes.
And but. Being who I am, I've interviewed thousands of people over the last few years. I do, I don't know, maybe 300 interviews a year. I don't know the exact number, 250, something like that. And I meet a lot of interesting people. And so the point is, mm-hmm. I'm all about human liberty, freedom, your right yep. to choose, your right to free speech. And that goes with food. It goes with, you know, whether you want to say yes or no to a medical intervention, mm-hmm. and your right to keep the product of your labor. So that's my background. Sorry, I went on too long. Back to you, Todd.
No. Well, I just have to insert something. I had the pleasure of come visiting you in Austin and, actually being interviewed in your studio. And, I know you take personal security very seriously.
Yeah.
And I have to share with everyone, I talk with my hands and like I'll hit the table with my hands. And I was right in the middle of an interview with Mike and I hit the table and over the desk jumps this It's not German Shepherd. What is it, Mike?
No, it's a Belgian Malinois.
A Belgian Malinois. And he gets right in between us and... he thought, I don't know if he thought it was a gun that went off or whatever, but that was one of those moments to where I don't know if my shorts got out of there clean, Mike.
Well, Rhodey is his name, and yeah, he's sitting right over here. He's hanging out. We'll introduce him to the show fans here maybe in a future episode, but yeah.
Yes.
I do take security seriously, but also take privacy seriously, excuse me.
Yeah.
And, like you, Todd, I've become enthralled with the idea of private digital money. Mm-hmm. Now, let's get into some discussion here. But for those watching who are into gold and silver, I am too. And I have, here's a solid silver, 7.62 by 51 round, by the way, that was given to me by John Bush.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I think we'll have John in as a guest, but yeah, I have that on my desk. Solid silver. Not usable, of course, because it doesn't have, you know, primer and powder, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
It's more than a silver bullet. It's an entire silver cartridge. Any case, gold and silver are wonderful. Gold and silver will outlast the rise and fall of every human civilization. Mm-hmm. And they have. They've been around, you know, since the beginning of the universe, frankly. They're elements on the table of elements. And gold doesn't need passwords, doesn't need electricity. Right. And no one can take it from you except by physical force.
Right.
However, it's really hard to pay online with gold and silver. It's really hard to send gold and silver to somebody that you might need to help out.
And it's really hard to make divisible.
Oh yeah, true. Right. It's how do you divide this into 1,000 pieces of silver? Right. It's also hard to take it with you. If you're a refugee fleeing a war zone.
That's right.
Or fleeing tyranny, like somebody fleeing Venezuela, let's say, or innocent people who are caught in the crossfire over in Ukraine right now, and they're trying to get out of Ukraine. What if you knew some of those people, and you're like, hey, I can help you. I can send you, let's say, some crypto. Because they still have internet access in most areas over there. They still have cell phone access. They could get some crypto, and maybe they could then use the crypto to get food or transportation or stay in a, you know, someone's home, rent a room, whatever, just get out of the battle zone. But I wouldn't send Bitcoin because Bitcoin is traceable.
Yeah.
And you don't know, like, would you be accused of something if you sent Bitcoin to like the Donbass region or something? You know what I mean?
Sure.
Somebody might jump on you. Oh, State Department. Oh, are you sending money to the Russians? No, I'm trying to help a family escape with their kids, you know?
Right.
So I want privacy. So I want private digital money. And that would be all the things we're talking about. It's Monero, and you came out of the Epic Cash community. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Firo. It's a bunch of them. And that's why that's our focus. But
yeah, that's right. Yeah. The other thing is with gold and silver, is it's not very it's not very confiscation resistant, right?
If you're
like, oh no, they're coming, grab the gold, honey, put it in your pockets, put it in your purse, let's go out the back door. And the more you want to take, the heavier you're going to be. Right.
Yeah.
It's just going to get stolen at some point in time. So yeah, you want digital gold is kind of the goal here.
Well, I think people should have both, right? Because
I
think
of course.
In case of a total collapse scenario when there's no electricity, you want physical 100%. Gold and silver, right?
It's a combination of it all, for
totally.
Sure. You need to be diversified across all of these asset classes, but a lot of people, especially who I'm in my upper 50s, are my age, you know, are not necessarily young enough to kind of have the aha factor as to what is blockchain technology and cryptocurrencies. And so it's an on-ramp. It's an on-ramp.
Yeah.
And we're going to hold the hands of any audience member who wants to just kind of learn how.
Oh,
it'll be like crypto 101.
In fact, in every show here, folks, we're going to show you a basic skill. And we're going to assume that you're starting from zero on this. And today we're going to show you just how to download a multi-coin wallet. We're just going to show you the Exodus wallet today and the Monero wallet. I'm just going to show you how to do this and just how to get started and some use cases for this. But there's something else I forgot to cover, Todd, that I need to cover.
Yeah.
For people who are wondering, because until relatively recently, I was very outspoken against the hype in crypto.
Right.
And I was not at all a fan of that hype. I always understood peer-to-peer technology, and I always supported that idea, by the way. But I have not been a Bitcoin promoter or any coin promoter. And it really turned me off, in fact, the whole pump and dump, like FOMO, buy now.
Right.
Or even McAfee claiming it was going to go to $1 million a coin and so on. Which, it's funny because, of course, it probably will eventually as the dollar collapses, everything's going to go to $1 million a coin.
Yeah.
Because the dollar's going to be worthless.
The cabbage I buy at the store is going to be $2 million.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, if you want to be a billionaire, just hold dollars and wait for the collapse. I mean, there you go. But if you actually want to still have value, you're going to need to get out of dollars and get into something else that holds value, which is kind of what this is about. But I just want to be clear to people. Someone can look up some old videos of mine and is like, oh, you were railing against Bitcoin. Well, no, I was railing against the FOMO pump and dump type of messaging.
Yeah.
But what I believe in is the utility of these coins. And that's where I think the real value comes in because you and I, Todd, actually, can I make this announcement? On my platform, actually, let me bring this up. On my platform, Brighteon.com, I just announced, my devs told me this last night. I was super excited. If you go to here's a video. It's me interviewing Michael Yon, by the way. And you see this right here? It says Tip Crypto. And if you click that button, then boom, there – and this feature is available to everybody. That is my Monero wallet receive address right there.
Awesome.
And by the way, we're going to add much more than Monero to this.
Yep.
Other privacy coins. Hopefully we'll have like half a dozen in here at some point. But anybody can go onto Brighteon.com right now. So this is a use case, right? This is not some like buy low, sell high. This is, hey, what can we do with this crypto that's real world? So right now, anybody can go on to Brighteon.com. They can create an account. They can upload videos. In fact, if you go to the homepage, like here's all these people, all these channels, and this is just from, you know, the last, you know, hour or whatever.
Wow.
And there's, you know, millions of videos. There's hundreds of thousands of users. There's, you know, tens of millions of viewers. And anybody can just enable crypto tipping on their account by putting their receive address in their dashboard.
That was fast.
Yeah.
Your devs are good.
Well, this one was simple. It didn't require us to integrate, you know, anything really. But, and I'm keeping my promise, Todd. I told you I was going to do this, right? And, and here it is. It's done. And now anybody can earn crypto by having videos on Brighteon.com. And here's the beautiful thing. And then I want your reaction, Todd. We, the platform owners, we don't keep anything because the tip doesn't come to us. It goes to the content creator. We don't have log files. We don't have knowledge. We don't have records of who got tipped, how much, nor do we want to. And we don't keep even 1%. 100% goes to the creator. What do you think about that?
Well, I would like to know. I have never monetized my channel, by the way. I never wanted to do that. I didn't want my channel, the audience, I didn't want them to go through commercials to be able to pay me anything. So I've never monetized it. But it would have, what you are offering now would have been very cool because people from the goodness of their own heart, it's kind of value for value. If you like the value of content you're receiving, to be able to just very simply digitally tip them to where YouTube doesn't take, 30%? I think that's the number, maybe even a bit more. But it's really amazing that you have operationalized that. You've integrated that on behalf of your content providers because you value their free speech. What you just did is the most pro-freedom thing that could possibly be done at this point in time to support your content providers. It's just give them the opportunity to privately receive income or donations, I should say, from caring members who really, it's nobody's business if I want to tip, you know, Sean from SGT Report, you know, $10 in Monero, in that big, in Fero, right?
Yeah.
Like, but the thing that I learned about you and why I think you and I clicked so early is instead of the, you know, invest in this crypto, it's gonna moon, gonna go to the moon, we're gonna get rich, Lambos. instead of that, Mike, your quest and zeal for the utility, what we have to do, we have to understand that this world is one big network run by the banking cartel worldwide. It is their network. And if you want to get out from underneath that network, you're going to have to stop using the network's money.
Yes.
And so this is a way that you are effectuating that. And I applaud you, man. You know, we were joking earlier that there's somebody who I recently said, oh, well, you know, there are a lot of Mike Adams out there. No, there aren't. Dummy. There's one Mike Adams who gets it, gets the fact. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I know, I'm the only founder of a video platform that has integrated crypto tipping, and that just happened. And it's only the beginning, by the way.
I know.
We're going to accept crypto payments in our stores and so on. So this is about, you know, a lot of people talk about the parallel economy, which is a big focus of our show here. But when they talk about it, it's like, what are you actually doing to build it? Like, what are you doing to make it? And for a lot of people, it's just, oh, I just buy Bitcoin and that's it. Well, you know, that's not really building a parallel economy if you just buy and sit on a coin. We need to use these coins. We need to use them in payments. So let me demonstrate that right now. I've got my phone here and I've got, what do I have? I have three XMR right here on Monero. Okay. 3.1. I'm rich. $481. Okay. I'm going to take this. And now show my screen, guys, because on my screen, this is just as with my video here.
Yep.
You see this QR code. I could scan that QR code and I could tip myself like that, but that wallet's not actually here. So I'm going to click receive on my Monero wallet. It's going to show me another code here, right? I just want to show the audience how easy this is. I know for those who are crypto experienced, like this is everybody's been doing this for years, but I just want to show people. So all I'm doing here is I'm clicking on the QR code scanner. And I'm scanning the QR code that's on the screen. Okay. And I'm going to enter like 0.03. Okay. I'm going to send myself 0.03, Monero. I click send and it says confirm sending. I click okay. It says sent successfully. Okay. Now I go back to my Monero account here and transactions. Oh, look. Boom. Show my screen. Yeah. 0.03. There it is. How many seconds was that? Todd is like
so fast.
5 seconds.
So fast.
Right?
Yeah.
So now
just so fast.
I mean, it's in the wallet. Now it's got to go through confirmations as you can see there, but I just used Monero in this case. And again, we're going to support many privacy coins. I just used Monero to send money, digital money to, in this case, myself, but I could have sent it to anybody on Brighteon.com that is using this system.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And importantly, and I'd like your comments, Todd, nobody knows that was just sent, and nobody needs to know.
No. And why? I mean, just think about it. If I don't know, let's just say that you go out into your neighborhood and you have, you know, 20 lemonade stands, you know, and you go and you have some cash and you exchange value, you know, value for value, you get a nice, big, delicious lemonade and you give whomever's selling it, you know, a buck or whatever. You know, that's between you and that person. Why should tipping anyone online be any different? Why is it in anybody's business? That's what I love about peer-to-peer cryptocurrency. Yeah. And that's, you know, that is not surveilled. A lot of people don't realize. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, And also about this, so you don't need permission from anybody to do this. And again, I know that this concept of a permissionless system, this is old hat for crypto experts. But for a lot of our audience who might be new to this, you know, normally when you try to work through a bank, you have to have their permission to take money out, even to deposit a check. We had a situation recently where we had a wealthy donor in Texas that gave us $500,000 for a nonprofit. on the condition that we donated that money out to like 20 plus independent media people. Number one, we had trouble cashing the check. Because they're like $500,000. We don't know if we can trust it. Like, what do you mean? We do millions of dollars of business through this bank. What are you talking about? And then, when we wrote the checks and we went through a payment service, they froze it. They said, oh, it might be fraud. Why are you paying out $500,000? We're giving money away. Oh, that might be fraud. And then when the people got the checks, some of them had trouble cashing the checks.
Gosh.
For the same reason, because, oh, where is this check from? And people were interrogated by their banks to be able to deposit checks. And so we had to reissue some of the checks too.
Right.
So, you know, if we had just sent crypto, it would have been done, like permissionless.
Yeah, so just levering my experience over the last couple of years covering Epic Cash, if you had to do that all over again and you had $500,000 of Epic, how would you send it? How would they receive it? How fast would that happen? And who would know?
Well, first of all, if I were sending it to somebody that needed to convert it back into fiat, we would have to choose a coin that's got very high trading volume so they can get in and out pretty easily.
Correct.
Right. So
Correct.
That tends to point to larger trading volume types of coins.
Correct.
Which Bitcoin is the largest volume, but again, it doesn't have the privacy. In the privacy sector, Monero is the largest privacy coin. Mm-hmm. So if I knew somebody was going to cash it out, I would send them Monero.
Yeah.
If I knew somebody just wanted to keep it and or use it through other means themselves, then I would consider some of the other coins that you just mentioned, such as Epic. But the point is the Mimblewimble blockchain tech is really amazing.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's used by several projects even beyond Epic. And also, you know, Lelantis, used by Firo and so on. There's a lot of interesting tech out there.
We're going to be interviewing, Ruben very soon, right?
Yes. Yes. He's on the schedule and,
With Firo.
With Firo. Exactly. Yeah. And we have people interviewing from three different crypto projects right now that are all privacy oriented. And we're contacting at least three or four others, but, some of them wanted to see this show first.
Right.
The episode that we're filming now. They want to see the show, to make sure. And you know, the other thing I found out, Uncle, this is funny. When we contacted a lot of people, at first to say, hey, you know, look, I'm the founder of Brightown.com. We're talking about decentralized living. We're launching a new show, decentralized.tv. We'd like to have you on as a guest. You know what one of the common answers has been?
What's that?
How much do you charge to interview us? Uh-huh. Right.
Money.
I'm like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? No, we just want you to come on and do an interview. You don't pay us. But apparently that's a common thing.
Oh, my gosh. within our community, we wanted to kind of have an exchange with this major influencer who was a Bitcoin author, to be able to get on there just to have a healthy debate, was $8,000.
Wow. Really? $8,000 to be interviewed.
Yeah, is like, that not nuts?
But see, I think that's crazy because then how does the public even know? I mean, does the person doing the interviews, do they disclose that they're being paid to do those interviews?
They do not. And I will tell you, Mike, that's what's going to make this show so powerful. Anybody out there who has a project that is focused on decentralization, privacy, freedom, please, please feel free. Mike, I don't know it, but can you share how would people get in touch with us? Like we want to be able to talk to someone from Monero that might be able to give us some real good insight.
Into
what's happening lately.
We have an interview lined up with the creator of a Monero affiliated, organization. That's all I'm going to say right now. Cause I don't want to spill the beans, but they're coming on. So here are the ground rules, folks. If you're with an interesting project, doesn't have to be crypto. It could be a VPN. It could be decentralized food, farming, decentralized blood banks. I mean, all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
Here's a rule. Number one, we will never ask you for money to be on the show.
No.
It's unthinkable to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I've interviewed thousands of people over 15 years. Not once has anybody paid me, nor have I ever asked anybody for money to be interviewed.
Right.
Never happened.
Right.
Right. Right. Now, sometimes I interview people who are our sponsors. And yeah. In that case, I mentioned, oh, this is our sponsor and they have intel and we're interviewing them, but that's all fully transparent. So that's how that works. Yeah. Secondly, if you want to contact us, I don't have the email right now, but it's going to be on decentralized.tv.
Okay.
So once that website goes live, hopefully by the time people see this, they'll have all the contact info there. It'll probably be a Proton mail address. Hey, let me – I do want to give credit to our actual sponsor, which is the Satellite
Please.
Phone Store. All right. Here's the website, sat123.com. They are sponsoring this show. We thank them for their sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
And they sell satellite phones and bivy sticks and solar readiness type of setups so that you can keep your phones charged. The bivy sticks are two-way satellite messaging devices. Now, these all work when the cell towers do not work. So you might ask, well, how is this decentralized? I mean, they're not peer-to-peer phones. Yeah, I get that. But mm-hmm. it's off the main power grid.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't track your location, you see. So if you want to protect your privacy, you would use a satellite phone or a bivy stick because the satellites can't track your exact location. They can only pinpoint it within a large radius, right?
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Can I raise my hand?
Go for it, yeah.
I don't know what a bivy stick is.
Oh, I'm
can
sorry.
Can you educate me?
Yeah, sorry. Thank you, yeah.
I'm used to on my show where it was all about crypto 101. It's some people talk over an old guy's head like mine. And I'm like, what's Bitcoin?
Okay. Show my screen. This is a bivy stick. Okay. It's made by this company called ACR. This stick is a two-way text communicator to satellite networks. And you use your mobile phone. You use your Bluetooth on your phone to talk to the bivy stick so that you can compose and read messages.
Ah.
So it allows you to send text messages to any cell phone, any mobile phone, any sat phone.
Wow.
You can, even to somebody's cell phone number, you can text them via satellite using the bivy stick.
Mm-hmm.
And these are used by all my friends, my operators on the border, you know, the guys mm-hmm. that are operators that do the border, operations and sometimes, rescue and exfil operations that we'll talk about one day. Anyway, they use these because anywhere in the world you can send a message and like your loved ones can get it. So even after hurricanes or earthquakes or whatever, the cell towers are down.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very affordable. So the Satellite Phone Store makes these available along with satellite phones. And they also have Faraday bags for privacy and mm-hmm. they have solar generators. So anyway, sat123.com is the website. If you want to check that out. And they're out of Inmarsat phones, by the way. They were texting me this morning. They only have the Iridium phones, which is – actually, the Iridium network is a really good network too, but they're more expensive. So
Okay.
There's a supply chain.
You know, I think we both share in this that it's my vision, your vision, that give this show a year. Wouldn't it be nice if your entire network ultimately – we ended up stop using I call them the Druid Babylonian bastards out there who run the world, stop using their money and ultimately be able to trade in different cryptos or different exchanges of value. I just love the idea that to be able to privately acquire all of this to where nobody knows.
Yes.
Our business.
Oh. Thank you for reminding me, Todd. On every episode, we're going to show people a practical skill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so today's practical skill is the following.
Great.
Show my laptop. Exodus.com is where you can get the Exodus wallet. They're not a sponsor. They don't know I'm mentioning them. And also, if you go to getmonero.org, for example, you can download the Monero wallet. And no, Monero is not a sponsor either.
Nope.
Any sponsors I will always disclose. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a ground rule for my whole operation.
And any cryptos that we hold.
Oh, yes.
Discussing it, we're also going to disclose.
Good point. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. So I hold a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Because I'm testing everything. I have less than one Bitcoin total.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have a few Moneros. I hold some of the Epic. I hold some mm-hmm. everything. I know you hold some of different things. You want to disclose What are you holding? Like, you don't have to tell us amounts, but I mean,
coins. No, I would call it some dust of a lot of coins, but I'm heavily weighted towards Epic Cash just because I covered it for 2 years and I like the attributes of Epic Cash. But let me qualify that by saying that I am very eager to interview guests who are going to open my eyes to other projects that, because my head has been so down that I haven't really considered that other thing. I think this is a perfect opportunity to say, in the world of private crypto, it's historically been us versus them. Build yourself up by knocking other projects down. That's not what we're going to be about.
No,
we want to be able to be inclusive. And we believe that if all of the privacy, cryptocurrency, communities get together and let's do this math equation, like 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. It equals 111. You know, let's just tap the power of our collective communities. That's what we want this show to be about. So it's not us versus them or Bitcoin's going to zero or any of that.
Good point. Yes. I'm really glad you brought that up. I did want to mention that today. So if any of you are watching from other projects, we are not here to trash your projects. We are here to look at all the tech and to apply it and to talk about utility and to take an honest, independent look at all the technologies. I mean, personally, Todd, I haven't found what I yet am convinced is the perfect privacy coin. Maybe we will find that.
Yep.
Or maybe current projects that we know about will evolve and improve and the perfect coin will be created. Every coin has advantages and disadvantages. Like even Monero, it's the blockchain is so huge. It took me 2 days to download just to sync the blockchain on one of my computers.
Right.
I'm sitting there waiting for 2 days. Cause it's massive.
That's the nature
of the privacy. Anyway, everything's got advantages and disadvantages. But Todd, can I give you a shout out, by the way?
Please.
When I was first looking at Epic Cash, that's how I found you and your channel. And I was like binge watching your broadcasts. And, you taught me a lot about privacy currency. And that's how I discovered you and your influence and your value. And I got to say, I think you have been invaluable to the Epic Cash project for the years that you've been covering it. I don't think that project would be anywhere close to its current value without your contributions and your education.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And that's why I invited you to be a co-host here, by the way. And, so thank you for accepting that offer.
It took me about 2 seconds to say yes. And that was just because of a 2 second delay.
right. That was the latency. But you have all this great background, in teaching people, educating people about why privacy matters and understanding this, even though you were never a Bitcoiner, you know, you were never running a pump and dump type of approach to different projects, you know. You sure you don't have a newsletter where you recommend what people should buy that you're selling?
No newsletters. And by the way, I have acquired a lot of crypto. I've never sold any crypto that I've acquired on an exchange. It's just been something that, I recognize the power of private money.
Let's talk about our private trade, by the way, because that was really cool.
And we
did this on purpose. When you were here, just for the audience to know this, we wanted to demonstrate the power of crypto and gold. So I brought, I think it was 4 U.S. Mint silver, or, I'm
That's
sorry,
right.
gold 1 ounce coins, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I gave you the coins and you transferred to me some amount of Epic. I forgot the amount, but whatever.
I know exactly what the amount is. And the reason why we did it is that, the wallet called Epic Pay, had just come out and you downloaded the Epic Pay wallet. It was created by Diego Salazar, who he is going to be a guest.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's Stack Wallet.
Yeah.
Yeah. With Stack Wallet, and he created the Cake Wallet and Epic Pay Wallet. So I was excited because the Epic Pay Wallet was just released, or the latest version, and you downloaded it and I was there with you and I wanted to show you how fast it was.
Yeah.
And so you told me that you had those four gold eagles. I like acquiring gold. And so we talked about a peer-to-peer exchange of value, and I looked up how much at the time Epic Cash was, and I believe it was like $1.20 or something like that. And we determined that your gold coins were worth $8,000, and so I figured out what $8,000 was, and it was like 5,250 coins. So we were right there together. Feet apart, I hit send, boom, immediately you received it, and you handed me the four gold eagles.
Yes.
That was awesome. Now, that was awesome.
But what was funny about that exchange is that you didn't want to give up the Epic, and frankly, I didn't want to give up the gold.
Right.
It was like I was kind of doing it as a demonstration, and you were kind of doing it in your mind as a favor to me, I think.
Yes. Yes.
And I was kind of like, well, I can part with this gold as a proof of concept, but frankly, I didn't want to give up the gold.
I know.
But what's really funny, Uncle, is that that trade that you and I did, which kind of is a historic trade, that one trade made history. Yeah. It brought us to where we are right now with this show.
It did.
And that trade did not involve fiat currency.
No, it didn't.
Isn't that cool?
And it did not. That at no point in time was there any risk of censorship of the transaction, confiscatability of it.
Right.
You know, it's digital money versus versus a precious metal. How cool is that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. And I actually think this is going to characterize the way the world works in the near future, because you know, the next episode of this program here, we're going to talk about CBDCs with Attorney Jonathan Eamord, who's running for the U.S. Senate.
Yep.
In Virginia. Yeah, it's going to be cool. But I think the future, in the near future, as the central banks try to push people into CBDCs, we're going to see a lot more people locally doing what you and I did that one day, where people will have gold and silver and garden seeds and maybe some ammo and maybe some crypto and or different kinds of crypto, and it's all going to be in the mix of what people are using to buy and sell and trade.
Yes.
All of it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, you're going to be talking about, like, what's the price of this beef brisket in Bitcoin?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Instead of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting. I mean, if you take a look at it in dollars, what people are realizing, you're very good at explaining this, but can you educate the audience right now of if you hold $100 bill and you put it like grandma did under her mattress, right? What happens, Mike, to the purchasing power of that dollar, $100? And let's just talk about food.
Oh man.
Over a course of a year.
Well, yeah. I mean, right now in food, you're losing at least 2% per month in purchasing power. Probably a lot more, maybe 2.5%. And that compounds month after month. So food prices can easily double in a year right now in this current environment.
Yes. And they are. We all feel it, right?
Absolutely. All feel it. Even at restaurants and grocery stores, and combined with the weather weapon droughts that are happening, you know, it's going to get even worse. But, hey, I forgot. Let me show people the skills here, okay?
Great.
We got a little sidetracked, which is fine, but I want to show people if they want to start with a wallet and actually have a wallet, download it, and start to use it. So, if you go to exodus.com, now remember there is Cake Wallet, there's Stack Wallet, there's, I can't recommend Atomic Wallet because they had a major hack, which is also a lesson we have to talk about. But, Exodus Wallet is one that I've used for many years. It's really easy to use. It supports, what is this, thousands of assets. Okay. So you download it and you run it and it shows up on your screen like this. So here's my Exodus Wallet, brand new. I have zero XMR. In fact, if you look at all the assets I have in this wallet, it's zero Bitcoin, it's zero everything. It's all zero. So start your journey. Okay.
It's been a crypto winter.
Yeah, there's nothing left. It's all gone. No, I just installed this, so there's nothing here. But I do have, I am running this Monero wallet, which now you can see, here's the 0.03 mm-hmm. that, I sent, you know, earlier in the show. And here it is. And
congrats it's, on getting that tip.
I know. I know. I'm so deserving of this fraction of a dollar, whatever it is. but what I would encourage everybody to do is you need to gain, crypto literacy and just understand how to use all of these tools. Even if you're not an investor, you're not a speculator, because I'm not encouraging anybody to speculate. And this is going to be a big legal disclaimer at the beginning of this episode, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
This is not investment advice, and we're not pumping coins anyway. We're trying to show you how to use this in your life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So download Exodus or some other wallet, or mm-hmm. multiple wallets. Cake Wallet's good as well. On the Bitcoin side, there's also some privacy-oriented wallets we'll talk about later, like Samurai Wallet and so on. And learn how to use this. You know, get a friend who knows crypto to send you 0.0001 of something, just so you can see it.
Yeah.
Right? That's our skill today. That's it. Download wallets and get a transfer. How's that?
Indeed. Indeed. And I just want to encourage folks, I'm just gonna pump a social right now. I would invite everyone to go to Zammypup on Instagram.
What?
Zammypup. That's my dog. He is the most. He was voted floofiest dog of Instagram. He is the Children's Hospital for, or he's the Shriners Hospital for Children therapy dog, and he is so big and fluffy. He's amazing. He has like 130,000 followers as a dog.
Oh, that's funny.
I bring him up only because his groomer, I have to get him groomed every month and it's pretty expensive. And I asked my groomer like 2.5 years ago, I'm like, Connie, would you like Green Cash or Epic Cash? And she had no idea what Epic was. And I said, here, watch my channel for a little bit. So she started saying Epic. So over the last 2.5 years, I have tipped her in Epic Cash. And what I would recommend, whatever your preferred coin is, that the best way to get mass adoption is to do it one colleague, friend, family member at a time. Just help them download a wallet. Help them acquire. Send them some free coins.
Start using it locally.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
And it's so cool. It's so cool. I fundamentally believe she's had 2 children ever since. And I really believe that those Epic, which she basically delayed gratification of having the green cash that's going to be melting that she would spend like it was yesterday. That there's one day when you just never know. I know we don't talk about crypto assets from a pump standpoint, but there is numbers go up technology associated with these things. And against inflation, I think you're going to be able to hold your purchasing power better with cryptocurrencies. And so I'm so excited one day when she looks back and say, wow, I'm really glad I met Todd Pittner.
Okay, that's cool. I'm glad you relayed that story. But let me just take the counter argument. Crypto is taking a beating from the SEC right now. Obviously,
it
right?
Is.
Coinbase it and is. Binance and so on.
Yep.
And so right now, I think there's a lot of risk until there's more clarity from the regulatory perspective, right? But
yeah, I certainly, yes. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
But my belief is that as soon as there is some clarity, even if it's like bad news, but now we know the rules.
Right.
I think crypto will have an environment in which there's less uncertainty and a lot more confidence. And I think the utility
correct.
Of it, the yeah. usability will yeah. explode.
And well, you know, and that's what I've learned about you, usability or from you, usability, utility. If we start focusing on that now instead of Lambo, you
yeah,
know,
right.
We're going to be better for it. And the guests that we have on, I just can't wait to just explore the attributes of their projects.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. These projects, I think, are going to be very enlightening. I mean, just through this show, we're going to be able to meet some amazing people and share those introductions with the audience. And, you know, we're taking this journey together. Remember, the slogan of this show is mm-hmm. building the infrastructure of human freedom. Mm-hmm. And we get to explore this together. I mean, Todd, think about it. It could be like episode 5 is some groundbreaking
right.
bombshell amazing yeah. thing that we can't even anticipate right now.
right? And that's what's cool. There is no script here. So audience members watching right now, just know that we're going through the journey with you. It's not you going through the journey with us. It's just like we're exploring this together, and that's what's cool. We're all part of Team Explorer here.
Yes, yes.
We don't know what we don't know right now, but we're going to discover it together. And there may be projects that we investigate to where at the end of the day, we're just going to candidly love the guests, but maybe it's, you know, not for me anyway.
Well, but, no, thanks for bringing that up. I mean, we're not going to actively trash any project on the show,
no,
but we
never.
Might, I mean, we can have different levels of enthusiasm based on what we learn, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. we are going to honestly point out the pros and the cons of every project as we see yeah. it. And we're open to being corrected about
yes.
that. And we don't charge guests to come on. How about
right.
that?
Right.
Hey, there's something I need to mention to the audience here before we run out of time, because, you know, we have show 2 coming up, Jonathan Emord. For those who are new to blockchain and crypto, and, you know, we just talked about downloading a wallet like the Exodus wallet. You need to understand that your coins are not stored in your wallet.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is a difficult thing for some people to get used to. Your coins are stored on the blockchain, which is replicated by everyone, or all the nodes, mm-hmm. which could be, you know, tens of thousands, or in some cases
sure.
more.
Mm-hmm.
Your wallet simply gives you access to the control of your coins, because mm-hmm. your wallet has essentially the cryptography keys to access those coins. I mean, that's a simplification, but that's basically
yeah.
it. So, folks, when you set up your wallet, it will give you a seed phrase. And I think on Exodus, it's a 12-word phrase. I believe it is.
It is.
You need that seed phrase gives you access to all your coins.
Mm-hmm.
You need to take it seriously. Write down that seed phrase on a piece of paper, or etch it into steel and lock it up in a vault or something.
That's what
I
do.
Or memorize it, as you've done, Todd, I think, with at least mm-hmm. one of your seed phrases.
Mm-hmm.
If your wallet crashes, if your computer crashes, if your house burns down, your coins are safe. Because
mm-hmm.
they're on the blockchain. All you
That's
have to
right.
do is go to another computer, launch Exodus, type in your seed phrase, and it will rescan all the blockchains, because
mm-hmm.
it supports, you know, multiple chains. And
yeah.
it will restore all your coins from all those chains. Done. So, and that's a new concept for a lot of people. It's tricky to understand.
It is. And I think I'm going to encourage that we continue to revisit this.
Yes.
Not your keys, your key phrase, not your coins. So if you're storing your crypto because you just are kind of just not motivated enough to figure out how to get a cold storage wallet, or you know, to be able to get your coins, yeah, they're fine on CoinStore, right? Those coins aren't yours. They are just IOUs. So you never know. Things happen, folks. Things happen.
Yeah. Look at the history of crypto. Mount Gox, for
Mount
example.
Mount Gox. Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Things
yeah.
happen.
So what happens?
as
yeah, exactly. And so here's the thing. You have to, and we're going to hammer this, but not your keys, not your coins. So when you ever get presented with a set of a seed phrase or keywords, usually it's 12 or 24. Never, don't you dare, please, please, please hear me. Never take a screenshot of it. Never. This is all you need to get your own little diary. I mean, good old fashioned pen and paper, and you need to write those down. And as I shared, I have anything that I have seed phrases, I just got some metal sheets and a Dremel, and why do we do that? Because fires happen, right? And so, you know, and then I'll do it to where they're in multiple places, different houses, you know, so that there are ways, and we're going to cover the different ways to be secure and keep them secure. Security is so important because here's what happens in crypto. Hear me on this. You are your own bank. And when things go wrong and you call customer service, it's going to ring your cell phone and your customer service is probably going to be poor.
What is it with this customer service team? They don't know anything.
So please protect your keywords, your seed phrase above and beyond everything. And when you write them down, write them in order. And, maybe one time we can go through a process, Mike, to where we actually download a wallet and show people what do we mean by seed phrases and stuff and just kind of sear it into your mind. But, it's those little tips that I think you're going to get along the way that we just want you to keep your money, your private money.
We should have like a seed phrase storytelling competition. Like take 12 words and make a story out of it because that's the easiest
way
to remember these words. Yeah.
That would be fun.
That's actually a really good exercise for, oral presentation training.
It is.
To link concepts together like that. So we should do that. Yeah. So.
Yeah. You know, with my seed phrase, for my largest holdings, is 24 words. And I'll never forget. I was on a plane ride. I live in Tampa, Florida. I was flying to California, and it was like a 5-hour flight. And literally, I started in Tampa, and I started with my keywords, my 24 words. And by the time I landed, I had written a story using those, and I had said it over and over in my mind with ridiculous connections from word to word that I'm just like, you know, a zebra jumping over an umbrella. You know, that's just an example. It's not one of my keywords.
Doesn't matter. There's still 22 more to guess in the proper order.
But if you do that and you link each one and you create a visual story, and I'm kinesthetic. So if you write it down, you know, by the time I got there, I had them all memorized. It was awesome.
Yeah.
On the way back, I had a clean sheet of paper and I went boom, 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 boom. And I actually do that probably once every other week. I sit down and I go through it. And guess what? If the, you know what hits the fan and I got to get the heck out of Dodge with my family, I can go somewhere with a loincloth. And when I get to my destination, I find a computer, a mobile wallet. I can enter my seed phrase, my money's in my mind, folks.
Yep.
Right up here. And boom, my wealth is restored.
That is the most critical point in all of this. And we're about to wrap up this episode because we're going to connect with our episode 2 guest here shortly.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that, you know, we live in a very uncertain world right now, right? Mm-hmm. Banks are failing in the United States. War is breaking out in Europe. Money printing is going insane. The national debt of the U.S. is over $32 trillion, and it's skyrocketing by trillions more every year. You need to be able to move digital assets without asking for permission to do so. And what you just described there, Todd, is the way to do it. You have the seed phrase. It's in your mind. Mm-hmm. No one can scan your mind, not yet anyway, and determine the words. No one can take them out of your head.
Nope.
I mean, they would have to maybe torture you and convince you to tell them, but you can always have a separate wallet with a smaller amount ready. In case you are kidnapped and tortured, you can have a different wallet ready to go.
Yes.
You gotta plan ahead, you know, that's
right.
If you get waterboarded, make sure you have a,
yes.
You know, like this a fake wallet. Yeah.
It's called the power of the prepper. You just gotta prep for all of this.
Right. But hopefully you're not in that situation. You know, hopefully you didn't get kidnapped and tortured for your wallet.
Yeah.
Most thieves will just try to steal stuff that they can, you know, take from you, i.e. taxing authorities, governments, banks. You know, they'll just steal your accounts because they have control over them.
Yes.
Or physical thieves breaking into your house and trying to steal your gold while dodging rounds from your AR, by the way, whatever the case may be. Can you dodge bullets? Not today. But with digital private money, which is one of the main thrusts of our focus here, you're going to have portability, mobility, permissionless, non-confiscatability, censorship proof and all the rest. As long as you have electricity and the nodes are still running and the internet still works, you're going to be in good shape. So any final thoughts here, Todd? We got to wrap up today's episode.
No, this has been great. And I have to tell you, I had a sneaky suspicion that we would have good energy together. And I believe we do. This has been a blast for me. I would like to invite everybody. If you want to come find me, on Telegram currently while we get our, decentralized TV Telegram set up. But, I have a group called, t.me/EpicPrivateMoney, Epic Private Money. And that means it's not all about Epic. It is about Epic Private Money. And so I invite anyone from Monero, from Fero, from any other projects, please come, because it is just like this show. It's 1 + 1 + 1 = 111. And, we can't wait to engage with all of you out there.
That's awesome. But no, you're right. It's way more than just the individual components. You're exactly right. And this is an inclusive show in terms of all kinds of different projects and different guests. And, no one is going to be shamed coming on here, by the way.
Nope.
We're not going to tell people that every other project in the world is a crap coin. And no, that's been done before and it doesn't get you much in the world.
No. What good comes from that?
Not a good philosophy.
You know what you end up with?
What?
Is a bunch of other people that do that, and then it's just called an echo chamber. And that gets really boring really quick. And what happens is people then start making really good process, not progress. And we want to make good progress on this show.
Well, plus, you know, think about it, Todd. How do we know that we aren't just one interview away from some kind of breakthrough knowledge that we don't currently possess? I mean, we can't be so arrogant that we think we know everything. I mean, we're smart enough to know that we know barely anything about the world.
Exactly.
But we're just honest enough to explore it and have transparency with it. That's all.
That's right. And you know, the asset class of cryptocurrency and then the subclass of private, crypto, you know, we are just a small fraction of the world monetary supply, you know? So,
true.
So there is a lot of room to grow. And just like back in, you know, the web 1.0 days, it's like the technology that we take for granted today, you know, when web 1.0 just started and we had the dial up AOL, right? You know, it wasn't invented yet. What we take for granted now wasn't even invented yet. And it's going to be the same thing with crypto. There's going to be a project 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 2 months from now. And I hope we discover it. I hope we can bring it to our audience here, so that we can get just a little bit of a jump on the rest of the world. And we do that with an open mind.
That project may already exist.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. I mean, we're open to learning, but look, we got to wrap this up. This has been really fun and intriguing.
Awesome.
Thank you, Todd, for being the co-host here on episode one. And thank you for watching. Of course, I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. The website for this show is decentralized.tv. So you'll find all the resources there and all the episodes there as well. Our sponsor for today was a satellite phone store, SAT123.com. And coming up in episode two, we're interviewing attorney Jonathan Emord about CBDCs and how his campaign for the U.S. Senate is accepting privacy cryptocurrency as a campaign donation with other regulatory requirements. Like you do have to give your name for the Federal Elections Commission compliance and so on. But anyway, we'll talk about that with him.
Beautiful.
So that's coming up in episode two. Thank you for watching today. And thank you, Todd, for joining me. It's been fun.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Thank you all. Again, decentralized.tv is the website. Thanks for watching today. Take care.